From KPFK Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this program on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates nationwide. A routine part of American childhood has become orthodontic care and the possibility of braces. But is our orthodontic care a modern phenomenon for which there was no need in earlier generations of humans? A new book called Simply Jaws contends that our industrialized world has changed how children breathe and eat and led to a rapid evolution in oral development. The results are not only crooked teeth and crowded jaws and the requirement of braces, but epidemic levels of poor sleep, high blood pressure, cancer, diabetes, and more. We turn to Paul Ehrlich, author of the 1968 bestseller, The Population Bomb. He's the Bing Professor of Population Studies Emeritus and President of the Center for Conservation Biology at Stanford University. And he's the co-author with Sandra Kahn of the new book, Jaws, The Story of a Hidden Epidemic. Welcome to the program, Paul.
It's great to be here.
So it's something that we don't really think about. And as you point out in your book, this is a silent epidemic, but people in the dental profession know much more about it. How do we know that as a whole, our jaws are becoming narrower? Our jaws are crowding, the narrow jaws are crowding our teeth more. Is this something that we've just kind of observed over the past several decades, that that's just a change in oral development among humans?
Well, I'm embarrassed that as an evolutionary biologist, I had watched this go on without realizing what was going on. And it was Sandra Kahn. Dr. Kahn is a very experienced orthodontist who we got to know through conservation work. Who began to talk to me about this, and we jointly got together and figured out that the whole situation is basically based on settling down to agriculture, which gave us industrialization, which stopped us from doing a lot of chewing and exercising our jaw muscles. And this is very clear. One of my close colleagues, Richard Klein, is the top specialist, along with Lieberman at Harvard, in the anatomy of the human past. And they both say they've never seen a hunter-gatherer skull with a small jaw, crooked teeth, or unerupted last molars. Our so-called wisdom teeth, which are often not able to erupt, that is, they're said they're impacted, they don't go through the gum, just didn't exist back in those days. The reason that they have them now is the jaw is not big enough anymore. Hmm. And measurements have been made of jaws, for instance, in Scandinavian churchyard graveyards from 300 years ago, when they measured the jaws there and measured them in today's Scandinavians, and it turns out the jaws are still shrinking.
Wow. So jaws are shrinking. And we find through your book that a lot of the reason why this oral development occurs or misdevelopment occurs is because of habits formed in early childhood. Some of it just through the way children are breathing, some of it through the way children are eating or what they're eating. Let's talk about food. You mentioned agriculture. So I suppose in early human societies, after children or alongside breast milk, children were chewing on hard foods because, of course, there wasn't a blender, there weren't blenders around, or there weren't baby food around. Maybe parents were pre-chewing food for their children. But what were the sorts of foods that early childhood children ate, children ate?
First of all, they nursed for a long time. This can be tough to do today, obviously. But it turns out, and even Sandra didn't realize this, she was a working mother as an orthodontist, and she pumped her breast milk, and her husband or a caregiver during the day supplied it in a bottle. But it turns out that jaw muscles in babies work a lot to nurse, and hardly at all if you're getting bottle fed. So a starter is not enough exercise of the jaw muscles in infants. And remember, for some crazy reason, the medical profession tells us all to exercise every muscle, you know, exercise, use it or lose it, except the jaw muscles. And so then the kids are weaned today to soup. And now, and in those days, they were weaned to whatever the parents had to eat. and they started chewing very, very young. Nowadays, our diets are getting more and more liquid. You don't chew on a tough buffalo steak anymore. You eat a hamburger, which is close to liquid. I had a filet in a restaurant the other night. I could have drunk. This shows up. I mean, imagine what it would be like if kids were not allowed to walk or walk very much until they were 12. In other words, the whole developmental system is based on the signals you get from its use. Also, we send kids to daycare centers and moved indoors so that stuffy noses are very common in children today. And experiments were done a long time ago, nasty experiments, stuffing the noses of rhesus monkeys, which resulted in their jaw development going to pot and getting these narrow, small jaws.
So essentially, because children are more indoors than they used to be in earlier generations, they're being exposed to allergens, which is causing respiratory issues. And they are, as you point out in your book, mouth breathing. And they develop these habits of mouth breathing. Why should mouth breathing be an issue?
The nose is carefully designed to do the right things with air you take in, to warm it, to moisten it, to put antibacterial compounds into it. And so that's a starter. And then you're hanging your jaw open does not lead to the proper development of the jaw. There tends to be not enough room for the tongue to rest in the lower jaw. And so when you go back and sleep, when you lie down, it leads to the back of the tongue moving into the throat, which is part of the airway to the lungs, and you get snoring. And we have now, for probably the first time in human history, snoring fairly common in kids and commoner yet in adults. And snoring is the first stage of moving to sleep apnea. That is having your tongue block your throat entirely while you're sleeping and therefore waking you up choking and stressing you incredibly. And as you may know, many, many adults are now on so-called CPAP machines to give constant air pressure and try and keep the airway open at night to avoid that stress, which is critical.
Including children, right? There are CPAP machines.
Some children are on CPAP machines. And of course, that's where the stress is, where the real problem comes in, because when you're stressed, your immune system is depressed, you have a bigger chance of getting cardiovascular disease, of getting cancer, of ADHD, of depression. In other words, it's a factor of civilization is giving us a transition in the kind of diseases we suffer. And one of the main things, just one of them, is the interruption of sleep with so-called sleep apnea, which is becoming commoner and commoner. So the nice thing is, by the way, let me give you some cheer. This is something you can do something about. You know, when we think of the hideous political situation today, the climate disruption, toxification of the planet, a loss of biodiversity and so on, you can't protect your kids from most of that. But if you're a parent with young kids, I urge you, by the way, the Jaws book, Jaws, A Story of a Hidden Epidemic, is a nonprofit effort. All the money that comes from it, if any, goes to the work we're doing. You can do a lot to help your kids prevent this kind of thing, to get their jaw development proper. But you've got to start early.
So one of the things you point out in your book, I mean, I know this may sound a little bit superficial, but early childhood habits that lead to narrow jaws significantly impact the facial structure of a human being. And you know, it's something that we might have imagined when we see somebody with a narrow jaw, that's just genetics, that's in their family, that's how they were born. But it turns out, if you're a mouth breather, if your jaws, if you end up not using your teeth enough and strengthening your jaws end up narrowing, and it changes your entire facial structure. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, well, your face tends then to grow downward as your jaw tends to hang open, and it all also moving backwards. So often orthodontic treatments, braces and so on, move the jaw, make the jaw smaller and move it back, which blocks the airway. So it leads to unattractive faces. One of the things we've done, since this is hard to picture, is put lots and lots of pictures in the book so you can see what happens to jaws under various circumstances, including x-rays and so on. So it can become very clear to you very fast. And then you've got to watch your kids closely when they're young. For example, babies shouldn't mouth breathe. Babies should not make noise when they're breathing, nor should you, when they're sleeping. No, it's young children and so on should not have the covers all messed up at night from rolling around and having trouble sleeping. They should sleep like logs and breathe quietly. And you, there's lots of stuff in the book, a checklist of what you can check to see if you need to give your child help, or what you can do for an older child or even an adult with these problems. But the longer you wait, as you can imagine, the tougher it is, because the basic cure is to make sure that the jaws grow in the right direction. If you're like me, 86 years old, getting my jaws to grow in the right direction would be a huge problem. Let's put it that way. I wish I had done other things when I was younger.
So, Paul, and of course, the other thing you can do is also make sure your kids eat, chew on foods at an early age that challenge their jaws a little bit, exercise their jaws, right?
We're recommending you go back to chewing gum. And that we find gums, that there are gums that can be rechewed and which are really give your jaws more exercise than standard gums. It's a place where the chewing gum industry could do a lot for human health. And again, we just hadn't thought of that till we started working on this.
It's so interesting because I remember when I was a kid, chewing gum was a treat. My parents thought it was bad for you. And so I wouldn't get it very often.
Yeah. And of course, there's always the problem of it sticking on the bottom of your chair.
Right. So in terms of an evolutionary perspective, this is one of those issues that is, you know, has these impacts that we don't think about. The sleep apnea issue in particular, I want to follow that thread for a minute, because in addition, you know, there's a facial structure issue, there's crowded teeth, orthodontic care is expensive, it's inconvenient and can change the way you look, but the longer term issues of even obesity, cognitive impairment, cancer, how do you link something as seemingly minor sounding as sleep apnea to these very serious diseases that can kill you?
Well, that's one of the big issues in medical care in general. Everybody knows that stress is really bad for you. There's a huge literature in this. In fact, the introduction to our book, To Jaws, was written by a colleague here who's the world's expert on stress. And we know that stress is very bad for us, but it's very hard to tie a certain amount of stress to any given disease. So the basic advice there is sort of like the basic advice of keeping up your exercise if you want to live a long time. And there's a lot of medical issues that have to be looked at before we're going to solve these problems in detail. For example, in food, we found out that we could not get reasonable measures of the chewability of food over the last few hundred years for when the jaws got less and less exercise because of what the food was doing. Here at Stanford, we're talking about trying to put together a plan to get a measurement of chewability that you could list on the ingredients of a food, just the way you put the nutritional value in. For example, people now talk about, is it better to have a smoothie or the actual fruit? But people don't mention the fact that fruit, we've bred the fruit to be softer and softer. So here in Palo Alto, you can often get peaches that you can almost drink, poke a hole in them and suck them out. And we're going to, the only thing fruit we now generally chew is apples. And so there's a lot of stuff we could do both at the social level and at the individual level to get more exercise in our jaws. And actually, I hate to say it personally, I like the taste of tougher meat, particularly in steaks, than the ones that are bred for just softness. But a critical thing to remember is there's no significant genetic element in this. Yes, identical twins may have similar jaw development, but identical twins almost have exactly the same diets for the early part of their lives. So again, take a look at the pictures in the book. I think you'll be convinced there are things you can do to help your kids have a better life, even if you don't know exactly what the consequences of having stuffy noses too much or not chewing enough will be in the long term.
Is there also an impact that poor overall posture has, given that unfortunately kids are more and more being given screens these days? They're being given their own tablets and even smartphones at an earlier age, or they use their parents' smartphones and, you know, end up hunched over. Doesn't that also block the passageways?
This is, you really hit the tough points, because it's very clear that posture, particularly oral posture, is critical to how the jaws develop. In other words, if you have a kid going in the wrong direction and you get some professional help, you will, if you got the right people, be told to do a series of exercises where the child keeps the tongue, again, the teeth in loose contact so they develop properly as a team, and then the tongue pressed against the upper incisors will lead to the proper kind of jaw development. And in terms of leaning over, not only are these problems ones of posture that may affect your jaw development and your sleep, but also there's now a building literature on how they affect your vision. That in fact, moving indoors, besides putting you together with the allergens, either has changed the light enough that you're exposed to, or the amount of time you focus in a distance, and is leading to an epidemic of myopia, of nearsightedness, which can lead to things like retinal detachment. So the industrial world is affecting us in many ways. And of course, sleep interruption is bad in whatever the cause. And moving indoors, having TV screens in front of you all the time, different light conditions and so on, are changing our sleep habits. That sleep apnea plus the other changes in our sleep habits have severe effects on our health. And it's part of the reason that we have the so-called epidemiological transition, that is, moving from the time when infectious diseases were the big problem, to now we have these problems of development like cancer, heart disease, ADHD, and of course the sleep apnea and all leads to just straight tiredness, bad performance in school, bad performance at work. And one of the things that I learned in the course of this research, which I didn't know, other people had discovered, that the odds of being killed by a sleep-deprived driver on the road are substantially higher than the odds of being killed by a drunk driver.
Wow.
That is, yeah, I mean, that's, I thought, a really stunning result. It was like learning that breastfeeding was important, not just because of the high quality of mother's milk, but because of the exercise it gives a baby's jaws. So that you, when you get into things like this, you can learn things you never imagined.
So, Paul, finally, it seems as though an enormous amount of public awareness, public education needs to happen, particularly among parents of young children or caregivers of young children. It is considered pretty routine these days for those who are lucky enough to have dental insurance that you take your kids to go see the dentist starting from a young age, get them used to it. Are dentists the place that you hope, dentists offer? Is the place that you hope some of this information gets transmitted? You know, the dentists ask the parents of young children routinely, are they breathing properly when they sleep? Are they, you know, give them tougher foods to chew on, etc.?
The things are gradually moving in that direction. After all, dentists and orthodontists both are very good people who are trying to help others. Unfortunately, there are these myths like somehow it's all genetic and so on that have built up, but there are now groups of dentists and orthodontists who call themselves airway-centric orthodontics, where they're much more concerned with what's happening to jaw development than whether the teeth are straight. Straightening the teeth is dealing with a symptom, and of course, we all care about appearance, and appearance is important, but you don't want to sacrifice your sleep and your airway for appearance. So it's really important to learn, as you can from this book and other things, what's going on. And when you need professional help, seek the right person. Question carefully, for example, if they're orthodontist and they want to remove teeth, extract teeth to straighten them out, that's a bad sign. You want to at least inquire of any dentist or orthodontist, you know, what do you think about the crowding of the teeth and what the effects on the airway and on my child's jaw development? And again, you can find the right lines to use, I think, in the book or going to a website. Sandra's setting up a website that will provide parents with help, because you can get professional help, but you've got to get the right kind of professional help. And fortunately, the dental profession is tending to move in the right direction.
Well, I want to thank you so much for joining us today, Paul, and sharing your thoughts on this very important and undercovered issue. Thank you so much.
Thank you, too.
My guest has been Paul Ehrlich, author of the 1968 bestseller, The Population Bomb. He's a Bing Professor of Population Studies Emeritus and President of the Center for Conservation Biology at Stanford University. We've been talking about the new book he has just co-authored with Sandra Khan called Jaws, The Story of a Hidden Epidemic. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter. Also find us on Facebook, Twitter, iTunes, and Vimeo.